Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com. They want to be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here with you for the next 3 hours on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How great is it to have John Wall back in town?
It's good. It's special.
It is
special. I don't know if he's actually in town.
Well, he's going to be. He's on our team again. We should all.
Is he on the team?
Well,
the guy that just was on a podcast talking about how janky this whole team is and how horrible everything is. Do we think he's going to actually ever fly to Houston for a physical?
Yes, he's got to fly in. He wants to be part of it. What I got out of that interview is he can't wait to get back here. Can't wait to play for the Rockets again. And they said, the Rockets said, we got to have you back.
Veteran leadership.
And that's exactly what we were looking at. Oh, you kept saying, James Harden, RJ, nice job. No, it was John Wall all along.
Trash. Beyond trash. Like.
John Wall. Remember the sleeping bag?
Yeah.
I can't remember Mitch's name, but John Wall is the sleeping bag.
You can't remember it? I thought you made it.
I know. Mitch.
You did the big story on it. Remember?
Mitch something. Yeah. It was a big commercial.
Right.
He comes in with how you can get money by doing absolutely nothing in three easy steps.
And
one of the guys who is clearly went to his seminars was John Wall.
Yeah.
John Wall. Nobody has made more money for doing less than John Wall. Nobody. And he's going to get paid twice for doing nothing by the Houston Rockets.
Does anybody pick him up again? Yeah, I guess. Maybe. I guess.
I don't know. It was so funny watching. John Wall had one move in the preseason, and literally basketball Twitter's like, John Wall's back. This is the John Wall I was here for. John Wall. It's the return of John Wall. I told y'all, John. And I was like, no, it's not. It is going to be the exact same thing. He can't play every game. He's lost a step. John Wall's done. He's just collecting huge amounts of money because there's guaranteed contracts, and he's just.
You know who won? Who, RJ? I mean, you just love all this stuff. Who won the trade deadline? The Suns?
Had to be Suns.
Suns win, right? I mean, they've moved up from, well, what were they? It was ridiculous.
They're the fifth seed.
No, I know, but they moved up to 4-1 now, or
6-1.
6-1 now.
From 15-1 to 6-1.
6-1. That's a big jump.
That's the perception.
Right.
That's the perception. But I would say if you look at, you know, they've had some injuries that have kept them from being a full strength, but with everyone together, you have two lead scorers and Devin Booker, and as long as they can, and you've got a guy who can manage it, and Chris Paul.
Right.
And then you got a rim runner in DeAndre Ayton. So you got a rim runner, a rim protector, two shooters from outside and volume scorers. I mean, they lost their best defensive player, Mikal Bridges. But when you look at this, unless they lose for defensive reasons, there's no reason to believe that they're not one of the top two teams in the West. And no one buys into the Nuggets because the Nuggets never do anything.
Right.
They get there and, you know, it was the Nuggets, the Jazz would always have a good record and not do anything.
They never do anything. You know, the Mavericks. The Mavericks did something, obviously, with Dirk. Since Dirk, nothing.
We'll see what happens with Kyrie there if that's.
People don't believe. They still.
I know, but Kyrie's a good player. Like, Kyrie's going to try to. Kyrie will. If Kyrie can't play out this season without drama, he should just be blackballed from the league. Like, if you can't get through the next 30 games without drama, now the problem is going to be in the years to come, obviously. But if he's on his best behavior here and the earth is still round and things like that for him, then they got a chance to, you know, I mean, they got better. The Suns got better. The Western Conference got better. And now the Rockets have a chance to make a huge
move. Oh, no, they're going to make a big jump.
Now the Rockets have a chance to make
Do you know
a
who else won this the trade deadline? Huge? That you aren't even thinking about. Boban. Boban won the trade deadline.
How did Boban win the trade deadline?
Boban, because they picked up two players, they have to cut one. Boban's making $3.5 million doing nothing right now. So they cut him. Then when they cut the other player that comes, he gets picked up again and makes another $1 million. He makes another million on top of the $3.5 million he's getting paid for being tall.
I'm just telling you, Boban, at every game you go to, the most exciting moment is when people see Boban.
Boban
is absolutely, he is a team mascot, 100%. Boban walking through the tunnel, I was down there, Paul Miller gave me his little, his tickets to the Lexus Lounge. Yeah. And so me, it was just me down there because Mason was up with his friends. So I was there looking at, I had to wait to
get back
to my
seat. Yeah, when the
team comes through, yeah, to my seat. You got to kind of wait. And the team's walking through. Boban! People all took out their phones. Like, they were going bananas at halftime for Boban. Everybody lined up
they don't even recognize who the other players are?
No, they didn't even know who Jayshon Tate was. It was his first game back, and Jayshon had been gone. They're like, who's this guy?
Can you pick Deshaun Nicks out of a lineup?
Yeah, because he looks... Well, like he doesn't belong.
If there's a bunch of other little shorter, heavier guys, would you be able to pick him out?
Yeah, maybe if there was other guys who looked just like him at a Y.
Yeah, right.
It'd be harder. At a basketball game, it's really easy.
It's easy. Oh, he doesn't look like anybody.
The two guys I could pick out the easiest would be Deshaun and Boban.
Those would be the two easiest.
Which two of these do not belong?
Boban's making $3.5 million for being tall. Yeah. And then he gets another million because they have to cut him.
Who makes more advertising money, Boban or Jalen Green?
Oh, Boban.
Boban's in a minimum of two commercials that I know of, two different products, maybe three.
And, well, Boban makes
why?
A lot more.
He's tall.
You know what? I don't know. Do NBA players do as nearly as much advertising stuff is
not as much,
not nearly as much.
You know what I was told?
Boban's probably one of the leaders in the league.
Do you know what I was told? They don't want the money. The money's not enough.
Yeah, probably.
The money's not enough. They could be offered $250,000, $350,000 for a campaign. They're like, for
who? For what?
I that's one night at a club. I'm not going to
I don't need any.
I'm not going to take this peasant money.
I don't need.
I have a marketing guy tell me we. NBA guys stopped. You can't get stars anymore unless you're a huge national commercial. Like James got a lot for the body armor or whatever. Chris Paul for the national.
Yeah.
That was a lot of money.
State
Farm or I think it was State Farm. That was a huge one. But if you're going to try to come at, they have to want you to.
Yeah.
Like I don't think anyone's coming after KPJ. Maybe Jalen, but. A lot of if you're a star in the NBA, they won't mess with $150,000. Legitimately, they just don't even.
$150,000. Yeah,
and for us, we're like, wow.
Give me the $150,000.
$150,000, guys. Well, at University of Houston for NIL deals, like in schools. You know, there are some players who, like Bijan Robinson. There's some players who you tell them it's $25,000, $30,000. Even they won't. Even college guys won't touch. 25, 30. A lot of them will. I know what DeMarvion Overshown's deal was. His office linebacker for John Daspit just came out. They're doing the
linebacker thing?
Like
Terry
Tate?
Yeah.
Been injured, hit back, and there's a photo shoot they did in an office with DeMarvion Overshown where there's another one, too, where he's he's running in to hit people. He's in the Texas offices, and if anyone does something that's dangerous –
yeah.
You know, if you get somebody hurt, he runs up on them like Terry Tate. And the players loved it. They're like, I want to do an NIL deal. Like,
yeah, right.
Yeah, you do. But,
yeah.
But yeah, the high-dollar guys won't – the stars, a lot of them won't mess with what they think is – it's just crazy to me that money doesn't – the lack of value in money. When you get – when the money gets to a certain point – one thing we've seen with professional sports. So if you go back and look at in the 90s or even early 2000s, like Jordan was jarring. Looking at Jordan's stats, 82 games. But it's not just Michael Jordan. You go Karl Malone. Go anybody that was a star, relatively speaking. They all played, and they played high minutes, and there weren't injuries. How are there more injuries? Well, the thought is there's not really more injuries. There is just either if you're injured, you're not really putting the time in, or they're not playing with any kind of, like, players aren't playing with any kind of pain, or they're just sitting out. Because you can't have played more in the past and had less injuries than now, when the training staffs are better, the workout regimens are better, people's off-season regimens are supposed to be better, and yet there's more injuries than ever before.
Well, there's more arm injuries off than ever before, and they pitch less than they ever did. Right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And sometimes it's how you and it's how you perform. Now, the one thing I would argue is, depending on the era, you pitch way more when you're younger.
Yeah, right.
Because of travel,
because
baseball.
Of parents.
And that's when it's at its worst.
Right.
That's when you're not supposed to even pick up. Like, you shouldn't pick up a baseball for 6 months after baseball.
Well,
season.
And the kids throwing curveballs at 11 years old. I wouldn't allow it. Not on my little league teams. No, we ain't throwing no curveballs.
There was two things you weren't supposed to do. The miss, well, one was, you're not supposed to throw a curveball when you're young, and you weren't supposed to lift weights if you're a basketball player.
Right. Back in golf,
you get too constricted. And then they figured out, wait, you can lift if you just stretch.
Along. Wait. And Tiger came along.
You guys aren't lifting?
DeChambeau came along.
Davis Love's like, of course we're not lifting. Why would we lift and get so encumbered in our upper body? And Tiger's like,
watch this.
I'm hitting 325 off the tee. Look at my flexibility.
You can stretch too.
You can stretch after you lift.
Yeah, we don't do that. We ain't doing that around here.
Davis Love's little noodle arms.
Hey, don't make fun of
Davis could hit long. I know. Freddie Couples wasn't rocked
Davis
up.
Was the original tie the sweater around the neck guy,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, he was – Davis Loverford was so – I mean, that's the epitome of, oh, my God, entitled golf.
And then you had it's funny, older golfers, you could go – Curtis Strange was –
No.
He's like the Pat Beverly of golf.
Yeah, right. No, he is the Pat Beverly. And speaking of Pat Beverly, he's on his fourth or fifth team this season. But Eric Gordon, good for him. He gets to the Clippers. You know, he had a nice run here. Eric Gordon is going to be
You
forever.
Want to mention who the Rockets got?
Well, yeah. Nobody. They got nobody. They got
Frank
Kaminsky?
Frank the Tank?
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess. But then
Justin Holiday, it's close to being Drew Holiday. Like, it's Jay Holiday.
They made a bunch of Bruno Fernando trades. I mean, honest to God.
Gary Bird's gone.
Gary Bird's gone. But Gary Bird wasn't really here, was he?
Not this year. The time went lower and lower, so Garrison Matthews and Bruno Fernando were dealt. Eric Gordon was dealt. Jayshon was not, which I'm happy about, because teams were coming after Jayshon last year.
Yeah, but
they
were coming after for a second rounder.
Yeah, they were coming after him last year.
The Rockets were like, no. Mm-mm. Yeah, and same with Kenyon Martin Jr. We're not. No,
you
want to give us something? Okay.
Those are two guys I just personally wouldn't deal.
No.
Because I like that. You know, KPJ and Jaylen are more talented than both of those guys. But I get the feeling the other two guys have more basketball character than KPJ and Jaylen. And I'll take one of them. You know, my grand plan has been to move away from KPJ for a long time now. You can see that a mile away. He's not good for a team that wants to be a good winning team. No offense. You seem like a fine fella and all. You're just not gonna cut it. I think Frank Kaminsky is the missing piece now for the leadership in the locker room. That's what
Wall. Frank Kaminsky.
He is a final. How many of these guys have gone to Final Fours? Frank Kaminsky's been there. You got John Wall and Frank Kaminsky in the locker room now? Forget about it. Drive for 25, still alive.
It is alive. When we come back, the Astros win and they lose. We will talk about that on the other side. Plus,
that's maybe, a big tease right there.
Maybe there will be a different way of thinking about extended contracts and the future with the Houston Astros. We'll talk about that on the other side. But right now, we got the Morley Law Firm. Make the call, Morley Law. No matter who has damaged you in any way, shape, or form. Look at Brett Favre is suing. Boy, he is suing everybody. I'll sue you. If somebody defames you, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. The Morley Law Firm can do any. It doesn't matter what it is. Did you get a DWI? That's terrible. And you know what? The Morley Law Firm is here for you in case that happened to you. Are you being investigated by the police? Well, the Morley Law Firm is here for you. Don't go in there without your counsel. Do not go in there and make some stupid mistakes that you don't need to make, because the Morley Law Firm is here for you. They'll give you a free evaluation, a free consultation as to what's going on with you, and then you guys can go from there. Injuries, defamation suits, medical malpractice, asbestos. They're doing all kinds of huge cases, 18-wheelers, wrongful death, any kind of auto accident, any kind of insurance claim that you're not getting paid on. All of these things are happening, and the Morley Law Firm is here for you. The Morley Law Firm handles just about anything. If you've got any issue whatsoever, make the call Morley Law, 713-839-9955 or Morley, M-O-R-L-E-Y, law.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, guys, if you take that trip out to Angleton, one of the things you're going to find at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC is great deals on trucks and great deals on the GMC Sierra 1500. And this is a pickup truck, 2.7-liter engine that I think you're going to absolutely love. It's powerful. It's sporty. They've got the interior space you're looking for. Obviously, the cargo carrying that you need. But more than anything, when you go to Angleton, yeah, the drive is a little bit longer. It's going to be... You're looking at about 42 minutes from downtown, but the savings are tremendous, and the way that they do business is unlike anything you're going to find in this city. And I'm putting that on my mama. That's how strong I feel about it. When you go out there, they never hustle you or hassle you. You are going to be able to get what you are looking for without breaking the bank, and they are going to find every offer and deal they can possibly find for you under the sun. It's amazing. They give you more trade-in value for the vehicle you're trading in, and whether you need a purchase or a lease, they're going to be there to help you. And if they can't find the right deal for you, they'll just tell you, hey, let's wait, and we'll give you a call. Just say, hey, can you give me a call when there's a better program available, one that you think is better? That's what they did for me. 3 months later, they said, okay, we got one that's perfect. And I was in a brand new Chevy Traverse. So GMC Sierra 1500, if you're looking for that pickup, I highly recommend it. It's at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. For more information or see all the vehicles they have in stock, go to LanceZCars.com.
Yeah. Yeah, partially functional. Half of me is comfortable. The other half is close to the cliff, like Mrs. Huxtable. These boys.
You're listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So Kyle Tucker lost his arbitration case. It sucks for Kyle Tucker. I thought 7-5 was a bit high for him.
Yeah.
Everything I had seen projected was 5-6, 5-5, 5-6, 5-9 in that neighborhood.
You had him losing? You made him the underdog.
Yeah. He was the underdog. He was going to lose that fight. But that's okay, because it looks like there are actual talks going on, and there are actual talks going on with other players as well, which is nice. You know, the Astros ponied up for Bregman well before they had to. Altuve got has gotten two extensions. Jordan got a 6-year deal well long before he had to. So those were awfully nice. And now we've got Bregman. You know, Altuve and Bregman are coming up. And actually, Dana Brown has said, hey, we're working on getting both of those guys extended. Here is, and listen, Dana Brown comes from a place where they weren't scared. They've got players tied up in Atlanta. If they think you're good, Atlanta's going to tie you up and make sure that you're not going anywhere. And Jim Crane has been good about he's just anti-long-term extensions. That's
right.
And you know what? So you're going to lose some guys. The guys want long-term security. They want that big money deal. They want that prestige of being the highest paid at their position, all of those. Gerrit Cole wasn't going to stay. Look at Verlander's the highest paid guy now. Carlos Correa was looking for $300 million. George Springer was looking. They offered George Springer $25 a year, and he didn't want it because they wouldn't go on big years. But Dana Brown maybe brings a different attitude, and maybe Jim Crane might start to change his attitude toward it.
One of the things you guys will find out about me is that I'm going to be aggressive, right? And I think the time you have to evaluate players, and you have to say to yourself, do I see this player as part of the franchise, and can he make a difference? Once you make that decision, I think you owe it to the fan base to try to go after them, to lock the player up so your players are not walking out the door and your team falls off the cliff. So that's part about what I'll be doing, and that's part of what we did in Atlanta, and I thought we were really good at it because we gave out a lot of years. Now, there's risk to doing that. But you have to do your homework. You have to find out about the makeup. You have to find out how much this guy loves the game. And, you know, I've been around the game, like I said, for 33 years, and I think I'm a pretty good judge of character in terms of people who are really playing this game, and they love it, and they love being here.
So I'll say this. You know, just listening to him, he is more like he's like a GM you would hear in football. Talks about the makeup, how much they love the game.
Yeah.
You know, he sounds like a guy who would be in football, and it's a very different – we don't hear those things from the analytics-driven side. Now, what he said is true. I don't care that people have walked out the door and you haven't fallen off a cliff. You will at some point because it's impossible to continue a run of minor league success stories and guys playing well over their expectations like Peña did.
What organization has lost the players that the Astros have lost and can and not only this continue is, to win, continue to win at the highest level?
This is highly unusual, yeah. And one of the reasons they've been able to succeed is a horrific trade from the Dodgers where we got Yordan. You know, that one, the willingness of the team to stick with Kyle Tucker and not deal him away, and then just incredible scouting for international pitchers for cheap. I mean, that's how it happened, and you had a Justin Verlander trade. I want to say fall in your lap, but he wasn't getting traded that year. It wasn't until the post-trade deadline, which you don't see. You're not going to see that anymore. Like, you couldn't get a Justin Verlander. Now they've changed it. The trade deadline's a trade deadline. You don't have one of these where everyone can, you know, Justin Verlander cleared through waivers that year, which is what you had to do. There could be no claims because of, you know, the amount of money on the contract, and everyone said, no, we're not going to claim Justin Verlander as a rental. And what happened was, you know, the Astros were lucky enough to...
Well, and then give up the compensation for him, too.
Yeah, and you had to give up the compensation. Yeah. So you've had a lot of things fall right for the Astros to help extend this, and you eventually will fall off a cliff if you keep letting this happen. It's going to happen because you'll get into a dry run where you don't draft well, or somebody, you know, a Forrest Whitley situation happens with Corey Lee, and with, when I say that, I mean a guy doesn't turn out to be the player, or, you know, the guys they drafted this year. Eventually it will catch up with you. It does with everybody. So some of these guys you got to lock up. Kyle Tucker's actually one of those guys you got to lock up. But I would also ask you this, John. Like, are we assuming that Jim Crane just sat and said, well, if you guys don't think we should sign him long term, you know, clearly, and you even said maybe Jim will think differently, because Jim Crane is the one who decides whether or not they're going to give a long term.
Every owner does.
Well, you think Dana Brown can convince him of that?
I think Dana might be able to maybe sway him a little bit in the direction of the way that the Braves are doing it. Listen. The Braves came. I think Austin Riley is stupid. He got a $212 million deal for 10 years. He's going to regret that. And this is why I think. And you know what? Who else is going to regret it? Jordan's going to regret in the last couple of years of his deal. He's going to go. He's going to regret it. You know who's going to regret it? Fernando Tatis. A 14-year deal for $23 million a year.
You can't regret it when it's all guaranteed and you don't even. And you do the crazy stuff he does.
Except at the end of that deal, when you're making your money and you're seeing other
guys. I would argue this.
Especially in 10 years. You know where that money's going to be?
Yeah, but I would argue this. Based on what we've seen the last 2 years, I'm not sure Fernando Tatis is going to be a top player in 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. He's got to grow up. That guy was falling off he got injured falling off of doing, you know, racing on a motorcycle.
I know. Well, but, you know, that maybe he will. I mean, if he matures and he.
I mean, they may. You know who may regret it? Or the Padres may regret it. They gave him that much guaranteed.
And that's what Jim Crane is saying. I ain't doing that. You know what?
And Dana even said that, too.
Because every 10-year deal up until now, there's some of these 10-year deals are going to start to work out. They're going to start to work out for the teams.
We're still
waiting. None of them have. None of them have so far. So
no, we're still waiting. That's hard to have a guy have a 10-year run. You got to either not be injured or not have down years, and you're going to. I think successful means 8 out of 10.
Yeah,
if you really want to know the truth.
Yeah, at the end of the deal, you know that. Look at Pujols. His Pujols was terrible for about 4 years,
and
then after that last year, what he did.
But he wasn't on that. He wasn't with on that deal.
He was on this deal.
No.
Anyway,
he wasn't with the Angels, is what I'm saying.
Oh.
That Angels deal was a disaster.
Oh yeah.
What was that noise you went?
Well, it was some kind of, I don't know, something in the butt area.
He was on this deal.
No. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so I can't do a syringe noise really well.
Oh, that was syringe.
So, I don't know how those sound.
All right.
Anyway, so but here's the deal. It looks like Christian Javier is coming close to a deal.
Yeah,
a long-term deal. Christian Javier, Altuve,
the Latin
Bregman
players
extended.
Will agree on a long-term deal
they
because
will.
You come from no money,
yeah.
And you get guaranteed money. Like your family is set. How hard would that be If somebody's offering, I don't come for money. If somebody's offering me, like, how hard is that to bet on yourself for that long?
$100 million. You ordered on site. $100 million. Done.
Yeah. My family, right. Like, I come from Cuba.
Yeah. Cuba, I'm from Cuba. Feed the whole country with
this. I was in Cuba. Do you know what Cuba is rough when it comes to the financial stuff?
So, yeah, Christian Javier, I don't know what it's going to take for Fromber, but that would be not – I think you're probably – Fromber's probably going, I'm going to make some big, big money. But, again, nobody respects Fromber nearly as much because he's not that overpowering guy, yet he is one of the best pitchers in baseball. So that's a difficult contract deal because he doesn't – he doesn't hit all of those metrics that you need with spin rate and strikeout and swing and miss and all of that stuff. So that's going to be a more difficult deal. Javier just overpowers you. I'm hoping, well, here's the deal is I'm hoping Javier proves this year that he is a star. Because Javier last year was still talking, we're still talking about putting him back in the bullpen. He was still the guy that was probably going to flip back and forth to the bullpen if they didn't have the injury. If they, you know, if everything, who are you gonna, what are you gonna do when everybody's back? You got a 6-man rotation. Well, Javier's got to go. What? Javier? Well, we'll find out if he's a long term every 5th day starter this year
or just a flash guy. I think his stuff says long term every day, but you know, there's also something we never talk about is that you also have to – I mean, we saw it with Jose Lima. Lima was a supremely confident player. At some point, Lima got – you know, it got to Lima's head a little bit in terms of him being a star. And you never – the one thing you can't handicap is how players with more money, more access to stardom, like how they will handle
Lima's
stardom.
Personality, though. You can't put that on anybody else.
You could see that coming. But how do you handle stardom? How do you handle – the attention, how do you handle the money? That's something in every sport, every walk of life. I mean, people get different friends. They get, you know what I mean? Anybody who comes into a lot more money and their status elevates, how do you handle it? That's in business and life and anybody. Well, the same would be true with a young guy in sports. So far, it has not been an issue for Astros. We have not heard, at least, that anybody has become, you know, an issue from a personality standpoint. And that's one thing you want to make sure continues to happen with Kyle Tucker, if he gets his, Yordan, with any of their young, Christian Javier, any young star players that the Astros have been so lucky to have the personalities all fit and great players walk out and they still succeed. Like, this is really against, this runs against all elements of history.
Yes.
It doesn't happen historically.
Nope. All right, we got to break it here. Roosh Williams is going to join us on the other side to talk about this Rockets team and the trades and everything else that went down yesterday in the NBA. Let's break it here, but first talk about your patio.
Texas Custom Patios. So we are meeting on Monday. I'm going to go pressure wash my patio. We're going to meet on Monday, start the process of what the time frame is going to be for me to have my new kitchen. We wanted to wait until after the big game. But the fact is, next year for the big game, I want to be able – I'm doing a brisket this year. Next year, I want to be able to do it. I want to be able to do whatever I want. Yeah, don't worry.
Please
put it
on Twitter.
I'm going to. And we're going to – and I'm going to do it in my grill. But the grill's not built in to an outdoor kitchen. Next year, I will have that outdoor kitchen. I will have a grill built in. I have a flat top. I already can't wait to make the bacon and eggs and the hamburgers, chicken sandwiches – seared salmon. There's so many different things I can't wait to do. The cheesesteaks on the cooktop. I've been waiting to have that for my whole life. And this is going to be a reality for me. Now, one thing that can be a reality for you is turning your outdoors into an oasis. And that oasis for you could be just a really cool outdoor living space. Do you want a fire pit? You want a fireplace? They can do that for you. You don't have to use it very often, but they can do that for you. They do swimming pools. They truly better than they're number one in the state, and you're going to find it. You may not find anyone that does the work and how nice it is with Texas Custom Patios. And it's going to add value to your home and your quality of life. TexasCustomPatios.com. That's TexasCustomPatios.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Hey, the big game is coming up on Sunday, and you can't go to the DraftKings Sportsbook because it's already sold out. But here's the deal is any other time. And if you want to go for March Madness, now is the time to go to goldennugget.com/Lake Charles and get in. And I'm hoping we go. I want to go. We should go because it's the best place to watch college basketball. It's the best place to watch the tournament. Every game is going on. Everybody's screaming. It's just so much fun. If you're looking for the best place to go, it's Louisiana's largest sports book, 12,000 square feet, 3,200 square feet of LED screens. You can play blackjack while you're watching, bar top video, slots, all of it in the sports book. Just fantastic. Just doesn't get any better. We were there this week, and I love it. The food is great, too. In there, it's obviously, it's a Landry's place, so it is going to be going to have the best in food that you could, and bar food that you could possibly have. Four Diamond Full Resort, it's a unbelievable resort. 1,100 rooms. They all seem like they're new, still brand new. 18-hole championship course, 12 restaurants, Blue Martini nightclub, everything you could possibly want at the Golden Nugget, and it's just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. It does not get any better. And why go all the way to Vegas when you got this right here, right now, all at thegoldennugget.com/Lake Charles.
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Here, our good friend Roosh. Roosh Williams back. Ball is Life. He is the host of the Noble and Roosh Show for Ball is Life, and he's back with us talking Rockets basketball. Roosh, what's up?
Good morning, guys. What's going on? How you doing?
Good. You're not in L.A., are you?
No.
You're
it's
here.
Not that early.
Yeah, no, it'd be 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, boy, you are committed. You are committed to this show, and I love that. All right, let's talk about, okay, Eric Gordon finally out. The whole deal, you got a pick swap. Basically, you got a pick swap for him. I don't know what they were looking for, but, you know, John Wall back. Are you thrilled to have John Wall back in town?
No, I'm ecstatic for more John Wall. I think he got waived the second that deal happened and officially went through, but I'm sure he's happy to be back, too, for all of 2 seconds.
Well, I don't think he's coming back for those 2 seconds. He's just going to go, yeah, I ain't going nowhere near there. I'm done with that.
Right.
So, and then you get rid of Garrison Matthews, you get Bruno Fernandes. Basically, a lot of nothing, really?
Yeah, I mean, the way that I look at it is, you know, the Eric Gordon stuff is kind of a wash, right? I mean, they had first-round picks on the table in the past, mostly last year. They didn't take them for whatever reason, and then this time they're able to basically, you know, swap. They move up from the Milwaukee pick that they had, Milwaukee's first-round pick for this season, which is probably going to end up somewhere like at 27 or 28, and they're going to be able to move up to wherever the Clippers go, which isn't the worst thing in the world because Phoenix got stronger and Dallas got stronger. If New Orleans gets healthy, these are all teams that could finish ahead of the Clippers in the standings. So you don't know. I mean, right now the Clippers pick is 18th, so technically they moved up from 28 to 18. And if the Clippers have some trouble, that pick could maybe move up a little bit. And it's top six protected, so not the worst thing in the world. I like it from that perspective. It's better than keeping Gordon and just, you know, letting him sit there and play.
You didn't get a first – last year you could have gotten a first-round pick, but they already had three and they didn't care about having four picks in the first round for the second year in a row. They wanted but his value went down this year. He got another year older. You probably could have seen that coming, but I don't mind the moving up in the first round. I don't mind that. And Garrett Gordon didn't want to be here. He made it perfectly clear. You could see it. The terrible situation the other day where, look, I thought you swallow your whistle on that, but EG should know not to be even close to the shooter on that one. You got to, you know, close out, but don't be stupid. But regardless, It's a whole lot of really nothing. It's just shuffling some things around and moving some things around. I thought it was important that Jayshon Tate and Kenyon Martin Jr. both were not traded. I thought that was important because I don't know about you, Roosh, and you and I have talked about some of this, but you need certain types of players on the team. I'm not saying they're going to be core 1, 2, and 3 guys, but I think they're guys who honestly have value for who this team could be in the future.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the good thing about the pick swap that they get is now it's more attractive, right? Like, I don't think, kind of using the same logic that you just laid out, I don't think that they're going to be too interested in selecting that draft pick. So it gives them a stronger hand to kind of go out there, wheel and deal, and maybe use that pick to trade for something bigger. We'll see what they do this summer. As far as KJ and Tate go, you know, I tend to agree with you. They've got KJ Martin, Tari Eason, and Jayshon Tate that all kind of fill that wing role. The issue is that when we get to the point where the Rockets are going to be, you know, competitively shopping on the trade market for whoever is the next disgruntled star in the NBA, because that seems to be the trend these days. They're kind of at a deficit when it comes to first-round picks, right? When you're looking at teams like the Jazz, the Thunder, the Pelicans, all these teams have like 13 or more first-round picks, right? Maybe not the Pelicans, I'm not sure, but I know the Spurs. You add the Spurs into that list. They have 13 or more first-round picks through 2029. The Rockets right now have 8. And at some point, you're going to have to get more because these teams are throwing picks like it's nothing in these deals, right? They're throwing picks like Mardi Gras beads. So you're going to have more picks just to compete. So from that perspective, a guy like Tate could be the person that gets you that first-round pick. But I didn't think there was any urgency to trade him now. One thing about trading Eric Gordon is you're going to see it affect, this team. They're going to look, I think, pretty bad for the remaining 27 games, which is fine with me. But to that end, you need a Jayshon Tate to kind of keep things somewhat professional, mm-hmm. to keep the defensive intensity there, to be an adult in the locker room, those kinds of things. So I agree with you. But this summer, we'll see what they do. When they look to upgrade, when they look to sign some free agents, if they get active in the trade market, if they land, a top two draft pick, then maybe a Jayshon Tate is valuable on the court, or maybe he's valuable in a trade because you can go upgrade elsewhere. So we'll see.
What do you think of Roosh Williams throwing this here, Paul is Life on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5? You really like the Suns now? What do you think of the West?
Man, the West is a bloodbath. I really like the Suns. And here's the thing. They're thin, right? I mean, they traded their depth, basically, to go get Kevin Durant. But they do get T.J. Warren back in the deal, which I think is an underrated part of the move. But the thing is, they're going to be hot on the buyout market, right? And there's going to be some solid players on that buyout market. And I have a feeling they're going to want to go play in Phoenix. So I like Phoenix. Of course, the age-old tale of, is Chris Paul going to stay healthy? We'll see. If he does, though, man, Phoenix looks good. I think Dallas looks good. They have two top 10 isolation scorers. Last time we saw that was with yours truly, James Harden and Chris Paul. So don't take Dallas lightly. They're going to struggle on defense, but they're going to be hell to deal with on offense. And then you got the rest of the West, Memphis, Denver, Sacramento's been playing good ball. So I think it's going to be tough.
Roosh Williams is our guest. It's figuring out what is going to happen with the Nets now. Every Rocket fan has been watching the Rockets and having their opinions, but then also checking in on the Nets. Was there a better chance of having a lower pick with KD there and disgruntled as opposed to moving on from all of the disgruntled players and getting guys in the building? Because one thing we've seen is if you don't have stars, and they don't have stars, you can, on paper, yeah, it looks fine. You've got this player and that player. You got Mikal Bridges. Can you really win if you don't have a plus player? I just, before the Rockets got, before they got James Harden, they were kind of in that no man's land. Aren't the Nets really just in a no man's land right now, even if they got decent guys back and a bunch of first rounders from the Suns that aren't going to turn into anything probably?
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel, right? Like, look, for the last third of this season, they might compete hard and rally, and Jock Vaughn's got them playing good ball. So they might play some good basketball, and that's fine. But moving forward, it's going to be tough without a star. Now, I will say the Nets, add the Nets to that list of teams. They have 12 first-round picks through 2029. Sean Marks, when he took over, I know that the entire experiment with Kyrie and James and Kevin Durant got totally bungled. But when Sean Marks took over, the Nets did not really have draft picks to work with, and he rebuilt that situation into something that we were all thinking was going to win a championship. So I would not underrate or underestimate Sean Marks. But as far as talent goes, they have a bunch of, high-functioning 3-and-D role-playing type guys. Mikal Bridges will shine. Cam Johnson's a good player, but Cam Johnson is 26, and he's a restricted free agent at the end of the season, which is kind of interesting as far as that deal goes. So, I'm interested to see if they retain Cam Johnson, because if they don't, he's a big piece of the deal. They just got a bunch of, good role players. They're still paying Ben Simmons $35 million. It's going to be hard to really be a top-contending team in their conference. Now, can they make the playoffs? Sure. But as the East continues to get better, and the East is not bad at all, I just think it's going to be tough for them to really compete. I also wanted to mention real quick the trade with the Hawks. One thing about that trade with the Hawks is that I was happy to see that, because it's very much the type of trade the Rockets have been known to make over the last decade or so under Daryl Morey, right? Rafael Stone took Bruno Fernando and Garrison Matthews, who are fringe NBA players, right? Probably won't last in the NBA too long, except for being at the very end of someone's bench. He signed them to non-guaranteed deals, and then he turned them into something. He took advantage of a team like the Atlanta Hawks, who went into the luxury tax trading for Sadiq Bey, and they needed to make a cost-cutting move. So we took on their salary, and we gave them two non-guaranteed contracts that they can most likely waive. And as a result of that, we taxed them for two second-round picks, basically getting value out of absolutely nothing. That's the kind of stuff I want to see the Rockets doing. They haven't done it enough over the last three seasons. If they continue to do stuff like that and churn and burn, they can create assets for themselves and be competitive on the trade market.
Right. I mean, you don't need any more they don't need any more first-round picks. They don't need any more picks. They need some players. I mean, and especially some veteran players. Do you see any chance Danny Green sticking around?
It's possible, but I think he's going to request a buyout. I would personally like to see him stick around because they could use another adult in the room. To your point, they could use an NBA player because they don't have too many of those at the moment. But it seems like I think Mark Berman reported that he's a buyout candidate to request it. So we'll see how that shakes out.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be bad to have a guy that can actually shoot a three on the team.
Yeah.
Although
I don't know if he's going to play. He's been hurt. He had a bad ACL injury a while ago, and I don't think he's played at all this season.
Well, don't you need somebody, too, that can teach these young guys how to
That's what he said. I mean, he gets him into the locker room, but who wants to be here?
Yeah. Well, but
who wants to be that guy? Eric Gordon didn't. John Wall. I mean, I don't know what. I don't even know what to believe with
John Wall.
Danny Green want to be here? Would they listen? Everyone acts like you can drop a guy who's 31 in the locker room, and they're all going to go, oh, Sage One, tell us what you know of the NBA.
No, that guy's been around, and he's won.
He has no juice in that locker room.
Yeah, but he's been around. He's
Does
won. He knows
have
stuff.
Vibes. He played with the Spurs. He has no vibes.
Well,
again with if the you don't vibes. Have vibes, then they're not going to listen to you.
Oh, my goodness. Again with the vibes. I'm so sick of vibes. How about making some shots? That's a vibe I'd love to see.
How about defending in the fourth? How about getting stops in the fourth?
Or making a shot in the fourth.
I'd love that your Instagram stories are great, guys, but I'd love for you to also defend in the fourth quarter and protect leads.
That'd be awesome.
That would be important for
That'd
you, too.
That'd be awesome. I see a lot of your shit. The rotations by Steven Silas sometimes are just, it's unbelievable.
Roosh, did you find it, somebody put music underneath it, and the Oscar for the, where all the Hollywood started standing up when he got the Oscar, and he goes, they're not playing defense, and they're not closing out.
Oh, my God.
That was so funny. Cringeworthy.
Yeah, that whole post-game tirade, I mean, that's one of those where, I don't know if you remember, man, back in the day watching, sitcoms, and you got to a point where you're like, okay, this is too cringe, you can't watch.
Yep.
Flip the channel. That's how I felt during that post-game presser. I just feel bad for the guy because it's like he's not built like that, That's just not even him. He's trying to be this guy that he's not. It's awkward.
I know. It's unfortunate, and I feel bad for him, too. I think that and they're clearly just going to let him play out the string because he could have gotten fired a long time ago. So they'll let him play it out, and that's fine. But it was, man, to see him literally, go in with a script of how he was going to be angry when that's not who he is. That's like seeing Tony Dungy yell and cuss at somebody. It's just not – that's not who he is. That's not what it was going to look like. But before we let you go, did you get a peek at the really cool hip-hop stuff they did, the 50-year hip-hop stuff at the Grammy with all the different performers who performed?
Yeah, man. I was really happy to see that. I thought it was really cool. It was a nice little, cherry on top, especially because, hip-hop's so much different now these days. It's cool to kind of see the page turn back for a second,
Yeah, it was. I mentioned that to Roosh because Roosh was a performer for a few years and had some notoriety here in Houston, if you're wondering why I randomly asked Roosh about hip-hop stuff on the Grammys. So, anyway.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I was also going to say, man, as far as Silas goes, dude, that walk-off, the slap of the table in the walk-off, kind of like I can't remember where I've seen this, but it's like, I've seen this cartoon once where there's a fly on a wall and someone punches the fly, and then the fly gets up and flies away like they're so weak, right? It was one of those, man. I was just like, good Lord, I think I could strike more fear into those kids than Steven Silas.
Yeah, and that's because just not who he is.
That's not what he is.
He shouldn't have to coach a team like this.
Host of the Noble and Roosh Show for Ball is Life, Roosh Williams back on the show. We appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging with us.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Always a pleasure. Thank you. Enjoy your weekend.
There's Roosh Williams, at Roosh Williams on Twitter. Right now, though, it's the Daspit Law Firm.
Daspit Law Firm, and John has his the U of H the U of H ads for the basketball team is going to be showing up all over television. The television ads are ready to go. So, you know, the reason he chose University of Houston basketball to do an NIL deal with is because no one works harder. I mean, those guys work really hard. They work hard in practice. They work hard in the games. They defend. They close out. They rotate. They get on the floor after the ball. The other day, they gave up like 42 points. And Daspit's like, that's my, you know, that's me and that's my people. No one's going to work harder for you here in the city of Houston than Daspit Law Firm. And Daspit Law Firm, I say in the city of Houston, but it's really the state of Texas. They're the second biggest firm in the state of Texas. And John Daspit's hiring because he wants to be number one. He wants to be the one who is getting the most for his clients who have been injured. There's a lot of people who get hurt, and he understands there's some people in the industry that, you know, he doesn't like some of the histrionics that you see with some of the commercials. He said, look, I don't want to do that stuff. What I want to do is help people who have been injured and help them get really good, fair deals, because the insurance companies are really looking to squeeze you. And he said it's embarrassing what the insurance companies and their lawyers will try to do. And so Daspit fights back. He pushes back. If he needs to go to court, he will. And he's got a very high win rate. But usually he gets the best settlement for you, and he's very good at what he does. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 10 locations around the state of Texas, DaspitLaw.com, or you can call 713-322-HURT.
Why don't we take a break? You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
ProDunk.com, ProDunk.com, new website. But it's just all about pro dunks. It's all about dunking the basketball, Dad. Dad, we want a basket. We don't want one of those ones with the sand in the base, and it moves all the time, and it's terrible, and we can't raise and lower it. We don't want that, Dad. We want the goal that you can raise and lower so all the kids in the neighborhood can come over and we can dunk. They can hang on the rim all day long if they want. That's the quality of it. It will never, ever, ever, ever break. It is just it's unbelievable. The quality of this product is second to none. They've been doing this forever. Keith Tate has. He's fantastic at this. Keith, Zach, and Ryan are unbelievable. Now, you can mount it if you want. You can put it on the roof. You can mount it on your garage. You can get the in-ground adjustable, in-ground fixed to height, whatever. You can get one that's portable. You can do all of these things at ProDunk.com. ProDunk.com, it's the place to buy your basket. There is no other place in the world to buy it. There's one place in the whole world to buy your basket, ProDunk.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. John and Lance here at 713-780-3776. Will's been waiting. He wants to talk about his Astros. He had to wait through Rouge. So, Will, you're first up. What's up?
All right, man. I just wanted to talk about the great sense it makes for all these Latin American players to come to America. And I just wanted to give a few anecdotes. My friend he snuck into Cuba back before the embargo, and he saw the Cuban World Series game for a quarter, and he was on the left field line. It's got a 72% poverty rate. Puerto Rico has a 44. Venezuela is extremely poor, and the Dominican Republic is actually doing pretty well. And my second anecdote would be my friend he went on his honeymoon to Dominican, and he said he flew from one end of the island to the other, and he said it was just baseball field after baseball field after baseball field. Like, it was just like the country's obsessed. And it makes sense for these guys to sign these, what we consider, you know, small $700,000 contracts. But, you know, if they work hard, they're going to make millions. Jordan's, you know, the good example there. But I love our Latin players. I love Fromber. He's probably my favorite guy. They're so excited to play. Yuli is like Cuban royalty, his whole family. So I don't know. I just have just makes a lot of sense for me to get those international signings.
Absolutely.
It keeps costs down, and I love them.
Absolutely.
So one
we'll
of the,
appreciate it, Will.
So one of the things was when we were there, Yuli, Yuli's a big deal. At the time, we went to Cuba in, what was it? It was before COVID, so I guess it would have been 19. Golly, was it 19? The summer of 19? Yeah, it was the summer of 19. Wow. It was the summer of 19 before COVID, and it was right before, and then Trump did put the embargo while we were there. So we were like, we can get back, right? We can get out of here, right? Yeah, you can get out of here, but no one else is coming in. So, but when we were there, it was strange. Like they like Yuli, but you know what's coming up over there is basketball. Basketball's starting to come up over in Cuba. I mean, it's still boxing. It's no soccer. Soccer's coming up a little bit. Basketball's coming up a lot more. Baseball's still the monster. Yeah. And they still do boxing, you know, in there. But Yuli was not Yordan as much as Yuli was kind of a bigger deal with the baseball fans in Cuba. But we only talked to a certain amount. But the poverty is so unbelievable. We stayed in Havana, too. The poverty is so unbelievable. The families staying in the same place. I mean, families, not one family, multiple families. The amount of money, one of the drivers told us, people just don't, they get taken care of by the government. They just don't work. He goes, we have so many jobs available. Just no one. He goes, there's two problems. We can't get things in. We can't get things in to, like, put windows on our buildings anymore. Just buildings with no windows. There's no air conditioner. It just is what it is. But the other thing is, he said, I said, do you not have jobs? Or he goes, no, we have a ton of jobs. He said, people just don't want to do them. They just don't. They can stay at home and do nothing and get paid by the government, or they can work and not make much money. And they said, like, eh. He said, now, this guy was hustling. He was driving one of those really nice, you know, 1950s cars or whatever that they have, a ton of them over there. So they hustle and they try to take advantage of tourists like us so he can make money. The cigar rollers, they try to secretly get you to meet them outside because they get 5 cigars to sell every single day. So that's their hustle, is they get you to you know, buy their cigars from the same factory where they're rolling. There's hustling trying to make money. That's why when I hear about a player, especially from Cuba, man, if you've got guaranteed, if you know you're going to get $100 million guaranteed, well, you and your family are 100% taken care of right now. You're not waiting for 2 or 3 years. You're getting it right now. Your family can move. You're set for life, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if you handle it. So it does make some sense. But one thing we are seeing is with the Latin American players, we are seeing a more aggressive willingness, including Jose Altuve, by the way, a willingness to not just try to leverage the free agent market against the local team.
Yeah.
And I think they're happy being Astros.
Well, I think so too. And if you're in Jose Altuve's, you know, position, obviously he wants to be an Astro for life. He loves it here. He loves the community. He loves everything about it. So Jose Altuve is going to be an easy deal.
He's Mr. Astro.
Looks like Javier is an easy deal. That's getting done. Bregman is probably going to be a pretty easy deal. That's getting done. Extended past 24. You know, it's going to turn out that it's, you know, this run was based on Altuve and Bregman.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's going to be.
A willingness to stay.
To stay.
Altuve especially. I mean, you want to talk about a
They were here kid. From the get-go, from the winning.
How long do you think they're going to get Altuve? Because Altuve came in 16. Not Altuve, but Bregman came in 16. So, I get, you know, this is going to be 7 years. So he's been here a little while. How long do you think they extend? How far do you think that goes?
I don't know. Past 24, maybe another four. Maybe another four past 24.
So.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. And Altuve, I think, another four after that.
You think he'll go 4?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reason. I mean, right now, I don't.
Does he look like he's slowing down?
No, he had the 0-27, but that's just in-game. That's an in-season slump.
Yeah, right. No. And he was a 300 hitter this year. I mean.
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's slowing down.
No, he's not slowing down anytime soon. He's going to have fewer hits, though, because he legs out a lot of stuff. He's going to have fewer hits as it goes along. But he still hit 300 after he hadn't hit 300 for how many years? So, I mean, that was, and where was he in, remember where he was in June when I told you he was going to hit 300 this year, he hit 300 like I said he was going to hit 300.
You have over everything with every Houston sports guy.
That's okay.
You're bound to hit one.
We
didn't have 50 home runs for
Carlos Correa. Almost hit 50.
We didn't have
50,
for
remember?
Carlos.
Remember 40 when Carlos almost hit 40? I think he finished at like 22, yeah. But it was close to 40.
It was close. It got over a half.
When we come back, let's do the NFL awards last night. We'll do that on
Boo,
the other
they
side.
Got it wrong.
They got it all wrong.
They got it all wrong.
They're dumb.
How does Geno Smith win comeback player of the year? What's he coming back from? Never being good?
From suck?
Yeah.
I don't think that you should be able to come back from suck, but that's another story.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it on the other side. What we're going to talk about right now is Doc Manavese, and she is awesome, okay? Listen, if you're getting up in the middle of the night a bunch, if you can't stop or start, if you are, you know, if you don't feel like you're relieving your bladder all the time, Doc Manavese is here for you. You might have an enlarged prostate. If you have an enlarged prostate, you don't need surgery. Enlarged prostate takes an IV, and that's it. Doc Manavese is the best in this business. It is ridiculous. They used to, surgery on an enlarged prostate, guys. Oh, my God. You talk about painful. You talk about the worst. If your doctor has recommended surgery on your enlarged prostate, you say, oh, nope, I'm going to Doc Manavese. I'm going to 975prostate.com. She is going, even if you think you might have an enlarged prostate, and you might, and let's say you have ED along with it, Doc Manavese says she's curing 100% of those people, 100%. Don't have ED anymore after they shrink their prostate with an IV, not surgery. So if you think you have an enlarged prostate, just go to 975prostate.com. That's 975prostate.com.
ESPN 97.5.